Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
4 days before Christmas 1943, a badly damaged American bomber struggled to fly over wartime Germany. At its control was a 21-year-old pilot. Half his crew lay wounded or dead. It was their first mission. Suddenly, a sleek, dark shape pulled up on the bomber's tail, a German fighter. Worse, the German pilot was an ace, a man able to destroy the American bomber in the squeeze of a trigger. What happened next would defy imagination and later be called the most incredible encounter between enemies in World War II. It is the true story of two pilots whose lives collided in the skies that day. The American, Second Lieutenant Charlie Brown, a former farm boy from West Virginia who came to captain a B-17, and the German, Second Lieutenant Franz Stigler, a former airline pilot from Bavaria who sought to avoid fighting in World War II. The story is told in Adam Makos' new book, A Higher Call, that follows both Charlie and Franz's harrowing missions. And it's a great pleasure to welcome historian Adam Makos to the Roundtable program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. It's an honor.
You are a journalist, historian, and editor of the military magazine Valor. What brought you to this particular story of these two men?
You know, as I worked as an editor, a lot of stories came across my desk. And this one just seemed too good to be true. Veterans would tell me, have you heard the story of the German who spared the American bomber crew? And I thought, this has got to be a tall tale. This is impossible. And I heard it enough that I said, I've got to look into this. And I called up this old B-17 pilot who was supposedly at the center of this encounter. His name was Charlie Brown. And I said, Charlie, is this thing true? And he said, Adam, to find out, you've got to go interview my older brother, the German pilot Franz Stigler. And that's how the adventure began.
Why do you think, there's a lot to talk about, but I'm curious, why do you think that was his move of talk to his older brother?
I think Charlie realized that at the heart of this story, Franz was a hero, Charlie was just a character. And he knew that. He was very humble. And he realized that that day, Charlie kept his bomber flying, he kept it in the air, he kept his men alive, but really, Franz was the guy with his finger on the trigger. Franz was the one who took his finger off the trigger. And so Charlie knew he owed every day of his life since World War II to that man who he called his older brother.
So it seems in writing the book that the big question that you look to answer is, why did he take his finger off the trigger?
Exactly. We follow Franz Stigler from his youth. We follow him when he flew gliders with his brother. We follow him when he was in the airlines. And we try to figure out what in the fabric of his soul made him do that day. And one of the big answers came when he served in Africa. His first squadron leader in the desert was a man named Rodel. And Rodel said before Franz's first mission, he said, Franz, what are you going to do if you shoot down a plane today and you find a man floating in his parachute? Will you shoot him? And Franz said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to worry about it when that happens. And Rodel said, wrong answer, Franz. If I ever see you shoot a man in a parachute, if I ever hear of you shooting at a man in a parachute, I will shoot you myself. And this really rattled Franz before his first mission. He's just a young, scared pilot. And Rodel said, I'll tell you why I say this. You follow the rules not for your enemy. You follow the rules of war for yourself so that if you survive this, someday you can look yourself in the mirror. You fight by the rules to keep your humanity. And that lesson stayed with Franz, and it reemerged when he saw that damaged American bomber in his gun sight.
That warrior's code we hear about, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And you know, it was a very unusual thing in World War II because, you know, the men in the on the earth were stabbing and shooting each other, and there was no code there. But in the sky, the code seemed to trickle over from World War I when the pilots were aristocrats who fancied themselves as knights. And it was especially prevalent early in the war. And so if Franz Stigler had been a younger pilot, if he had come along later, he might not have learned the code. But because he fought in the earliest battles with the oldest pilots, against the British. It was originally the Germans and the British, so it was the same guys who were fighting in World War I, fighting by the same code. That's what allowed Franz Stiegler that day to spare Charlie Brown's bomber crew.
And these, because there really are no rules, but there is this code, and it's ultimately as is mentioned in the subtitle of the book, a chivalrous act. I mean, it is chivalry.
It truly is, and it's again, it's just such a it's almost like an oxymoron. How does chivalry exist when you're trying to annihilate the enemy, and they're trying to annihilate you? And that's one of the things that drew me to this story. When Franz Stiegler came up behind that B-17, and Charlie's bomber that day was shot from nose to tail, and he had one man dead, he had three men wounded, his plane had essentially two functioning engines out of four. He was as helpless as they ever come. And this was his first mission. He's lost over northern Germany just trying to reach the ocean. And when he flies over Franz Stiegler, Franz was standing on the ground at his airfield next to his plane, smoking a cigarette, fully armed, fully fueled, and he sees this bomber, he chases it down. He's 1 second, 1 pound away from, you know, squeezing that trigger and killing nine young men who would have had bright futures. And that's when he saw that bomber and he said, "They're not shooting back at me. It's a wonder this machine is still flying." And he said, "This is like a man in a parachute." And it all came full circle. And that's when he did the crazy thing. And that was, he didn't just spare the bomber, but he stayed with it. And he flew alongside it. And he escorted it out of Germany.
The story of Charlie after the war, I mean, both men obviously very affected by their wartime experience. But Charlie then tries to track down Franz, and that takes a while, but ultimately they reunite.
Yes, it's the other one in a million moment. When Charlie and Franz flew together that day, Charlie thought he was living a nightmare. He saw this German plane off his wing. He saw the German pilot smile at him. He saw him nod. He later on saw the German pilot salute and fly away. And what Franz was saying was, "Good luck, you're in God's hands," and he flew away. Now, Charlie didn't know this. All he knew was the man's face. He didn't know his name. He knew nothing. But it stayed with him the rest of his life. And in his old age, he told the story at a bomb group reunion of the German who spared his life. And everyone said, "That's incredible, Charlie, and you owe it to yourself to try to find this man." And Charlie knew that, you know, 40-some years had passed since the war. He knew that the German fighter pilots had mostly been wiped out during the war itself. So the odds that Franz Stiegler was still alive in 1989, 1990, were very, very slim. Yet, against all odds, he found Franz Stiegler. And Franz was living in Vancouver, Canada. And I almost don't want to spoil how he found him, but when you think that he searched the continent of North America, and he searched Europe, and he searched millions of people to find Franz Stiegler, the fact that they reunited is almost as miraculous as what happened that day in war.
And without giving away, but I mean, obviously it was incredibly emotional for both men, reduced them to tears, and an understanding. And yes, all those years had passed, and they only had that look and that glance. But almost it seems in reading the book that a lot of those, the blanks were filled in. That time just vanished.
You're right, Joe. They found that they were closer than friends. They were actually like brothers, and they called themselves brothers. And for the next 18 years after they reunited, until both of them died in 2008, just months apart, the two of them went to reunions, they went to Rotary clubs, schools, military units, museums, and they told their story. And they told a story of how two enemies can become brothers. And Charlie's bomb group hosted Franz as an honorary member. So this is a German fighter pilot made an honorary member of an American B-17 bomber group. It's quite incredible. And Franz, without spoiling too much, he had lost his brother during the war, and that had been a traumatic moment for him. But he said at the end that he lost one brother and he gained another in Charlie Brown. And he said, "Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for coming in and making, being the one good thing that came out of World War II for Franz Stiegler, his new brother, Charlie Brown."
Were you, how open was Stiegler in talking to you about what happened?
Stiegler was, I think he opened up more than he ever had before, because a lot of journalists had heard this story and they had asked him, "Oh, why did you not shoot Charlie Brown? And what happened during that 10 minutes when these two planes flew together to escape Germany?" And no one had ever asked him why, and nobody had ever explored his history with his brother and the lesson that his father gave him as a boy and all the lessons that went into that decision. And so he was very open to it. He was very old. His health was not the best at the time when I had met him. But he said, "You know, this story is too important for the world to forget." And I think he knew that, because, you know, look at us now. We're friends with Germany now. You can go to Germany. You see that the president had a press conference with Andrea Merkel a couple weeks ago. And it's so sad, really, when you study World War II like this, when you realize that 60, 70 years ago we were trying to kill each other, and now we're great friends. And that's the lesson that Franz Stiegler and Charlie Brown give us, that we sometimes have to look beyond that title, the enemy, and look at the man on the other side and realize he's sometimes a lot like me. He might be so much like me that we would call each other brothers. And so that's why A Higher Call is very much unlike any World War II book you've ever read. We show you the war from both sides of the same battle, and in the end, you want neither of the characters to die. You want them both to live.
The name of the book is A Higher Call, an incredible true story of combat and chivalry in the war-torn skies of World War II. It is published by Berkeley. Adam Makos, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate your time and telling us the story.
Hey, thank you, Joe. It's great to be on Roundtable.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Again, and to you. Again, the title of the book, A Higher Call, an incredible true story of combat and chivalry in the war-torn skies of World War II. It is published by Berkeley. You can find out more information about all of our segments by going to wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Also, make sure you take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, etc. Just go to the iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.